My. Let's see. We had Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday. We're already over halfway done with this thing. Barring anything going on a little further, we're already halfway through it. And if you haven't got what you need yet, guess what? Your opportunities are running out. And so tonight, you know what I'd do? I'd just make a run and jump in and get what I need from the Lord. Amen. Well, I'd like to see some good things happen around here tonight. I've been praying today that the Lord would just do something special for you. Amen. I like what your pastor said, make a change. Amen. I'm glad that I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, aren't you? But not only is there a change when you get saved, but then all the time we're changing, growing, drawing closer to God. Amen. Getting the world out and getting God in. I read something. I was reading here, and I'll preach to you in a few minutes. But I was reading here a while back about the book of Exodus. And it said that it took one night for God to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. Over 3 million people in one night were brought out of Egypt. But for 40 years, which is about 46,000 nights, God kept working to get Egypt out of the children of Israel. You understand what I'm saying? It was in their heart. And God had to work for 46,000 nights to get it out of their heart. Amen. Oh, I want to tell you something. God doesn't just want to save you out of sin, but He wants to get sin out of you. Well, amen. I'm going to start preaching before I mean to. But that's exactly what God wants to do. He wants to do a work in your heart. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to have my wife stand and testify. And they're trying to figure some things out on this microphone. But I'm going to quit talking here for a second and let my wife talk. Amen. Yes. Right. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's just go a little bit farther tonight. All right. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12 tonight. Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to read here in Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse number 1. We're going to read the first two verses. I want to say a great big thank you for the food that has been brought in. We appreciate it so much. May the Lord bless you. Tonight we had lasagna that Sister Stauffer made. And maybe that was Brother Stauffer. I don't know. Whoever makes that frozen lasagna. But I'm going to tell you what, that was good. Delicious stuff. And we had some salad and green beans and red velvet cake. Am I missing anything else? Some bread. Oh, I mean, we had all kinds of stuff. Thank you very much. That's a blessing to me and my wife and to your pastor and his wife. And we appreciate that. Thank you for the offerings, everything. God bless you. Let's look here in Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse number 1. If you have it, say amen. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed, circled about. That's what that means. Compassed about. With so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. Verse number 1 shows us something. It shows us a besetting sin. But verse number 2 said, there's a beautiful Savior. Amen. I want to preach to you tonight focusing on verse number 1 on the besetting sin. The besetting sin. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we ask that you would just give your help tonight, that you would minister in this service. Lord, I'm asking you to move in this place tonight. most of all move around the altars. God, you've been good to us the past couple of nights. But oh Lord, we want to see greater things tonight. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said,
amen, amen, amen.
Hallelujah. Our text tonight is a continuation of chapter 11. There really is no break in thought here. Chapter 12 is just a continuation straight through of chapter 11. Now chapter 11 is talking about the Hall of Faith, I like to call it. It's Heaven's Heroes or Heaven's Honor Roll. And we look back in Hebrews chapter 11 and we find that the first three verses gives us faith defined. It tells us what faith is. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But then in verse 4, all the way through the end, which is verse 40, we see faith in demonstration. Faith is defined, and then faith is demonstrated. Praise God. And we look at all of these men and women, and these are heroes of the faith. And the writer of Hebrews, who I believe to be Paul, amen, he uses this to appeal to the readers to continue on in their race of faith. Hallelujah. He said there is no quitting. There is no stopping. There is no turning back. We are in a race and we've got to finish. Hallelujah. Yeah. Now he uses an analogy here of the race. He talks about the Olympic Games. He is looking at a racer that is running the race. And when he thinks about this and he thinks about the Olympic Games, he began to think how they operated. And he knew that the winner of the race would have his name announced to the crowd that was there. His parents would be honored and their name would be announced. His country would receive honor as well. And he would be showered with gifts and flowers would be put upon him. And he would receive a large amount of food, enough to supply him for a year. He would receive a crown that would be placed upon his head. All of this, he would be honored for winning the race. Amen. One man that I read when I was studying about this said that poets would write poems about him and sculptors would make statues of him. You see, he wanted to win the race because he knew it would be worth it all if he was the winner. I want to tell you something tonight, church. Heaven's going to be worth it all if we can win the race. It's not to the fast. It's not to the strong. But it's to the one that endures and to the end. Hallelujah. And it'll be worth it if you can win it. It'll be worth it, friend. One preacher said heaven will be cheap at any price because it's worth every trial. It's worth every mile. It's worth every tribulation. It's worth every test. I said heaven will be worth it. Amen. Amen. We look here and we see some things in verse number 1 that I want to preach to you tonight. We look at the besetting sin. And the first thing I see is witnesses. Look with me. He said, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. The witnesses. While the runner was running the race, he would literally see thousands that lined the course and they would cheer him on. They would encourage him when he ran by them. They would say, come on, runner, run a little faster, run a little farther. You can do it. They were encouraging him to finish the race. And Paul looked back to verse or chapter 11 and said, runner, Christian runner, I want to tell you there's a whole multitude of witnesses that are waiting up in heaven for you. And if you'll just listen, they're cheering you on. And they're telling you, you can make it. You can make it. Keep on running. Keep on fighting. Keep on working. You can make it. They're cheering for you. Friend, I want to tell you something tonight. Heaven is cheering for you. Heaven wants you to make it. Heaven is pulling for you. And they are desirous for you to be a winner. Amen. This witness crowd,
first of all, is a sizable crowd. It goes all the way from Adam to Abel to Cain to Seth to Moses to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. It comes all the way down. Friend, they're cheering for you. Amen. You can look beyond the Bible and find men and women of faith that have cheered for you as well. Amen. Your loved ones that have already gone on, they're looking over the banister of heaven and saying, I want you to make it. Your mom and dad may have been passed on, but friend, I came to tell you tonight, they're cheering you on and telling you, you can make it. Amen. Amen. You say, why are they cheering? I'll tell you, it's because they have a sympathetic consideration. You see, they have already been through what you're going through. They've already endured all the pain. They've already climbed the mountains. They've already went through the desert. They've already swam the river. They have borne the same burdens you're bearing. And they know right where you're at. And they are encouraging you because they've been through it. Hey, let me tell you something, friend. Abel is looking down on you when you're persecuted for doing right. And he says, go ahead and do what's right. You can make it. Joseph is seeing you when you're mistreated by your family, when you're lied on, when you're abused. He's looking over heaven's banister and saying, you can make it. Run on. Peter is looking down, and when you're afraid and you feel like giving up and your will is about gone, he says, come on, runner. Run a little farther. You can make it. Amen. When you feel that the thorn in your flesh is so sharp and you want to give up, Paul looks over the banister of heaven and said, runner, keep on running, because his grace is sufficient to get you through it. Amen. They are considerate. Amen. Esther is looking down. Amen. And when you feel like your job is too large, she looks over and said, you can do it by the help of the Lord. Hey man, we've got some witnesses that are for us. Hey man. But the second thing I see here is the weights. The writer said, let us lay aside every weight. Hey man. Hey man. Matthew Henry, the commentator, when he was talking about these weights, this is what he said. Listen. A weight is any unrestrained or unregulated love for the body, the world, or this earthly life. Are you hearing what I'm saying right here? Any unregulated love for the world or the body or this life that we're living. In other words, when you get your attention on something here and it pulls your attention off what is there, it becomes a weight in your life. The love of this world and all of its fashion, all of its looks, all of its ways, all of its vices is a weight on your soul. And hear what I say right here. Many of the church world today are so weighted down that when the rapture takes place, they're going to miss it because they've got the world so wrapped around them and so tied to them that they can't go up in the rapture. Oh, listen to me, church. He said, let us lay them aside. Lay them down. Get rid of him. Do not let them hold on. And you don't hold on to them, but lay it down. Amen. I like what John Maxwell said about Moses. He said Moses had to give up in order to go up. Amen. And friend, that's exactly what we've got to do. We've got to give some things up if we're going to go up with God when He calls. We've got to be willing to lay it down. We've got to be willing to sacrifice it. We've got to be willing to give it up in order to go up. I don't know if you have them around here, but in St. Louis area, we have hot air balloon races We have them every year. These balloons are huge. They're huge. And they are filled with hot air, propane. And they heat that flame and send it up into those balloons. The only thing that keeps them from flying up into the sky before the beginning of the race is they will have bags of sand tied to every corner of the little wicker basket on the bottom. Huge bags of sand. And they're tied there holding that weight. They're weighting that balloon down. And when the whistle goes off for the race to begin, amen, the driver of that balloon, he runs around as quickly as he can with a sharp knife and cuts all the weights off. And that balloon shoots up in the air. I want to tell you something. You're going to have to cut some ropes. You're going to have to let some things go if you want to go up in the rapture. You say, friend, is it sin? Pastor, is it sin? I want to ask you something. Why would you want to take a chance? If in doubt, throw it out. If you don't know for sure, give it up and lay it down and let God have His way in your heart. Amen. Don't struggle with it. Don't fight with it. Don't wrestle with God. But if it's holding you back, if it's hindering your walk with God, give it up in order to go up. Weights. Weights. Amen. The runner, when he's in training, will put wrist weights and ankle weights on. But when it comes time for the real race, he takes them off and lays them aside that he can run faster. Hey, let me ask you something. Are we in training or are we in the race? I say we're not in training, but we're in the real race. And it's time to lay aside the weight that's holding us back. Get rid of it. Lay it down. Give it up to God and let Him take it over. The weights. What is it that's weighing you down? What is it that's holding you back in this revival? What is it that you know God would bless you some more around the altar if you gave that up? Holy Ghost, speak to us. Weights. 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 Let me preach to you now. Look at the next one. We see the witnesses. We see the weights. But then the writer begins to talk about a besetting sin. Pastor, when I began to study that out, I found that another word for besetting is a worrisome sin. How many of you have ever worried about something? Everybody raise your hand. Yes, we worry about things. Do you know what a worrying thought is? It's one that constantly comes and is there at the back of your mind. Amen. You think you've got it all out of your head, but then that old worrisome thought comes back. What is it really? What's really going to happen? What's the situation really? That's a worrisome thing. Amen. That, friend, is what he's talking about. It's a besetting sin. You think you got it taken care of. You think you got the victory over it. Amen. You prayed about it at the altar. You read about it in the Bible. The preacher preached about it. And you went and shed some tears. But then you get up and go out the door. And the next morning when you wake up, that old thing's right there again. Nipping at the back of your mind. Nipping at your heels. It's like an old wolf that's trying to tear down the elk. It's trying to get its back legs and pull it down that it can destroy it. Oh, I felt like preaching to you tonight and telling you that there is a worrisome sin that's struggling with you, that you've been battling, that you need to get victory over. Amen. Yes, you prayed about it. Yes, you've tried to give it up to God. Yes, you've talked with the pastor about it. But tonight is the night to get victory over a worrisome sin. Amen. That thing that's been eating at you, that thing you've been fighting with and struggling with over and over and over. Tonight is the night to get your victory from it. Amen. A besetting sin is defined as a sin that is in good standing. In other words, everybody else seems to be doing it. It's common where we live. It's the standard acceptable thing to do. But really, the Lord said it's sin. You know it's sin, and you know you ought to give it up. But we compare ourselves among ourselves, and we say, he does it. That man down the street does it. Amen. That other man in the church does it. That man I work with does it. But friend, it doesn't matter what they do. If the Word of God said it's wrong, it's wrong. Don't try to justify it. Don't try to get it in your heart and let it take root. Amen. Sin is always sin. And it's never right to do wrong. And it's never wrong to do right. Amen. You're struggling with a besetting sin. It's always close at hand. It doesn't seem too bad. It might even come into disguise and try to trick you. It'll give you a promise, but it won't keep it. It's tricky, friend. Amen. Oh, I wish the Holy Ghost would speak to somebody's heart tonight about something you've been battling with, something you've been fighting with, something you need victory over. Amen. Something from the past that keeps coming up and taking over your mind and taking over your heart. Amen. Something from yesterday, something from last week, something from your childhood, something that you struggle with over and over again. I want you to get victory that you can have a revival in your soul this week. Paul gives us some directions. First of all, he said, let us lay aside. That really means, and this is what I'm going to call it, is the first thing you've got to do is you've got to discard that worrisome sin. I think it's interesting. Brother Steve, would you help me? There's a child asleep. I think it's interesting. But when he talks about, put that on. When he talks about laying it aside, he's saying to, now listen to me, he's saying to shrug it off. Is that coat a little bit too big for you? Not quite the man you thought you were. Hey, hallelujah to God. Now, I don't know about you, but I think this coat would hinder his ability to do some things, don't you? Why don't you raise your hands up high above your head? Amen. It's a hindrance, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Sure enough, you see that coat is a hindrance to him, but it's wrapped itself around him. Take care of it, man. Take care of it. Amen. It's a coat. Hold on to it here. Amen. It's wrapped itself around him. It's got a hold on his shoulders. It's got a hold on his arms. It's even got a hold on his knees. Amen. Oh yes, it's wrapped itself around him. He's saying in here in Hebrews, amen, it'll wrap itself around you like a garment. But what you've got to do is shrug it off like a coat and discard it. Hey, listen to me right here. That old thing you've been fighting with, it might have wrapped itself around you, and it might have hindered you through service after service. It might have hindered you through revival after revival. It might have kept you out of an altar. It might have kept you from victory. It might have kept you from shouting. It might have kept you from getting help. But what Paul said here is, let us lay it aside. Shrug it off. Shrug it off, son. Lay it down. He said, discard that worrisome sin. Oh, let me tell you tonight, what somebody needs to do is shrug off that old sin, that old thing that's been worrying at you, that old habit that tries to come back, that old desire that tries to raise up in you, that old thing you used to do. You need to lay it down and discard it at the altar tonight. Discard it. Have you ever come to the altar? Have you ever come to the altar and discarded it and then picked it back up and walked out the door with it? Oh, I ain't going to put it on. I'm just going to take it outside. Huh? You know what happens? The next service you walk back in, you don't have it over your arm. You got it right back over your shoulders. You don't have control of it. It's got control of you again. Amen. You're not mastering it. It is mastering you. Hey, I want to tell you, friend, you've got to discard it and disregard it. Amen. Discard it, lay it off, and disregard it. Amen. He said, let us lay it aside. Lay it aside, son. And then he said, let us run. Amen. Lay it down and run. Run, run. Run, because we've got a Jesus that's waiting on us. We've got a master up in heaven. Yeah, we're fighting that old besetting sin, but we've got a beautiful Savior. And he said, look to him. Look to him. Don't look back at that. Don't look back at the trouble. Don't look back at the sin. Don't look back at the weight, but run to Jesus. Look to him and run to him. Discard it, disregard it. I read the story of an eagle. An eagle has built-in sunglasses. Over its eye, a black sunshade will literally cover his eye. And he can fly directly into the sun. Now the eagle has an enemy called the condor. That condor will come while that eagle is flying. And he will begin to pull at his wing feathers. He'll begin to nip at him and try to knock him out of the air. But do you know what? That condor, Brother Johnston, cannot fly into the sun. So that old eagle will just turn his eyeball straight into the sun. His old built-in sunglasses will come down over his eyes. And he'll fly right into the brightest part of the sun. And do you know what? That condor can't take the brightness of the sun. And so he fades away. Oh, listen to me, friend. You've got to be like the eagle. And when the devil comes tempting, and he comes trying, and he wants to put that old sin back around you, then you just turn to Jesus, who is the S-O-N, the Son, and you fly straight to him. And all those worldly things, all those sinful things, will fall off by the wayside. Hey, you can get help tonight if you go to the Son. You can get deliverance tonight if you go to the Son. Run to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Stand with me if you would. The author and the finisher. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you know what that means? He's the one that began it, and he's the one that's going to end it. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, glory to God. That runner of that race kept his eye on the finish line because he knew there was a rewarder with a reward that was waiting on him at the end. And friend, what you've got to do is get your eyes off of the worrisome sin. And you've got to fix it on the finish line. Because there is a rewarder called Christ. And there is a reward called a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Hallelujah. And you can have it if you'll lay aside the sin that's your fighting. Bow your heads with me if you would. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that the Holy Ghost has already been speaking to hearts. I pray that you've already been pointing things out to people that they need to lay aside at this altar in order to have a closer walk with God. Lord, it's not that they're backslid, but it's that this thing would love to make them backslide. And God, tonight I'm not really reaching for the backslider, but I'm reaching for the Christian that's battling with that sin. They've not given in to it yet. but they're about to. They're not all caught up in it yet, but it's right there beside them. Oh Lord, tonight I pray that You'd give some victories around this altar. In the name of Jesus, I'm asking for You to give some victories around this altar tonight. From the youngest one that's battling temptation to the oldest one that's battling temptation, I pray tonight that You'd help them around this altar. Hey man, if you're here tonight, hey man, head still bowed, eyes still closed. If you're here tonight and you need some help over a weight or a worrisome sin, I just want you to throw your hand up in the air and say, "Preacher, I need help." There's 1, 2, 3 hands all over. Hey man, oh, I'm going to tell you something. There's a helper right here at this altar, and He's called the Holy Ghost tonight, and He's here to help you. Hallelujah. Why don't you make your way to the altar right now? If you raise your hand, step out. That's it. Step out. Yeah, that's it. If you got a child, pass them off to grandma or grandpa. But we've got to get help in the altar tonight. We've got to get help. I don't want to go back, Lord. I want some victories around here tonight. I want some prayers answered. I want some help for some souls around here tonight. Pour your heart out to God, church. Pour your heart out to God, brother. Pour your heart out to God, sister. Lord, give me victory over the past. Give me victory over the sin. Give me victory over that old thing I've been battling with. Help me tonight, God. Help me, oh Holy Ghost.
Hope is gone.
Oh, help some people tonight. Spirit of God, help some people.
I'm pressing on. I started out and I'm going to finish this race. I have begun. Started one day to follow Jesus. Not caring for worldly fame.
When we go away from this altar, I pray that some sins will be left here.
Could make it
that some weights will be left here.
Down in shame.
Oh, lay it aside
the world
tonight,
around
church.
Me. Was that's offering it, that's its it, glitter, that's it. Trying to
oh,
get
let
my
the tears view. Flow.
I
God
started out,
tears.
And I
that's all right, brother. Let
this
flow.
Race.
Hallelujah.
I have begun.
Discarded tonight.
Though rough the road, though steep the curve.
I'm not taking it back, oh
still
Lord.
I'm
hallelujah.
Glory to God. Though the I've crossed. It may be so deep till it seems all hope is gone. The clouds hang low, though the thunder may roll, still I'm praying.
Those weights and sins which doth so easily beset us.